Welcome. You are listening to a recording provided for the use of the blind and print impaired. Materials or items read on AIRS LA are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. Today's articles are from the December 2025 edition. A Room Full of Memories. There was nothing better than Christmas Eve at Mamaw's house. For a big chunk of my life, Christmas always started in my grandmother's living room. Her name was Heloise, but we called her Mamaw. And for years, I thought she was the only person in the world with that name. She and my grandfather, Mac, had 3 kids and 7 grandkids. I'm the oldest. And their long-standing tradition was to have a seated dinner at their home in Memphis on Christmas Eve. It was a formal affair, which meant jackets and ties for me and my brother. I didn't love that part, but the trade-off was that we were allowed to open some presents for my aunts and uncles. It was, without a doubt, the most exciting night of the year, an event no one ever missed. Around 6 o'clock, usually after church, we would drive over in our station wagon with a plastic laundry basket loaded with gifts. We'd come in through the kitchen, where we were greeted by the smell of yeast rolls warming in the oven. The adults would have cocktails and cheese straws in the library, a ritual that seemed to go on forever, while grandkids gobbled up the butterscotch candies Mamaw put out in silver bowls. Our extended family didn't get together that often, but when we did, it felt like a party. My Aunt Marion's laughter could be heard throughout the house. Some years, right before dinner, Mamaw would take out her worn Bible and have the children read the Christmas story from the book of Luke as a reminder of why we were all there. Eventually, we would make our way to the big dining table, which was set with white linen tablecloth that had Christmas trees on it. There was a buffet with beef tenderloin, scalloped potatoes, and spinach casserole, plus basket after basket of rolls. In the early days, I wasn't that focused on the food because I was anxiously waiting for Mamaw's signal to go into the living room and open presents. That was the moment the holiday officially began. I don't know what it was about that space, but there was magic in it. Perhaps because Christmas Eve was the only time that we ever went in there. I can still picture my father and uncles lazing back on the couches, avoiding the fray. While my mother and aunts handed out gifts, the kids would tear into the packages, and Mamaw would sit on a bench at the center of the room, drinking coffee from a Demitasse cup and taking it all in. When you'd give her something to open, she'd ask you to set it under the tree. "Oh, honey," she'd say, waving a hand at the chaos, "this is my Christmas present." Mamaw passed away early 2020 at the age of 97. The house was sold a few months later. I reached out to the real estate agent asking for the photographs from the listing. I like to look at them on occasion, especially around this time of year. I can still hear the laughter in that living room and see the floor littered with wrapping paper, and I'm always reminded of the many gifts my grandmother gave us. Sid Evans, Editor-in-Chief. Ivy's Kitchen. A knockout punch. Spiked or not, this festive sipper will keep you cozy on winter nights. By Ivy Odom. The Christmas punch bowls of my southern childhood were filled with all sorts of delicious concoctions. There were melting scoops of pink sherbet floating in a cranberry lemon lime pool, and there was a brandy-laced milk punch in a crystal cauldron that we kids knew better than we were to go near. I even occasionally got a sip of eggnog from my mom and felt giddy as I licked away the white mustache it left behind. As much as I loved all of these, I didn't find my absolute favorite holiday drink until I started dating my husband, Louis. One of the first times we visited his parents, who both grew up in Puerto Rico, his mom, Miriam, pulled a glass bottle of her homemade coquita from the fridge after dinner. Traditionally served at Christmas time, coquito, which translates to little coconut in Spanish, is composed of both coconut milk and cream of coconut, as well as evaporated milk and cinnamon. It's thick, sweet, often spiked with rum, and as I realized after my first sip, entirely irresistible. I asked my mother-in-law how to make it, and even though my version differs ever so slightly from hers, I knew I'd done something right when Lewis said, "This tastes like Christmas at home." Coconut milk punch, coquito, active 15 minutes, total 1 hour 15 minutes, serves 6. 2 13.5-ounce cans coconut milk, well shaken and stirred. 1 15-ounce can cream of coconut, such as Coco Lopez. 1 12-ounce can evaporated milk. 1 7.4-ounce can sweetened condensed coconut milk. 1 teaspoon ground cinnamon plus more for the garnish. And 1 teaspoon vanilla bean paste. 1 half cup dark rum, optional. 2 4-inch cinnamon sticks plus more for serving. Whisk together coconut milk, cream of coconut, evaporated milk, condensed coconut milk, ground cinnamon, and vanilla bean paste until very smooth. Transfer to a half-gallon pitcher. Add the rum, if you're using it, and the cinnamon sticks. Chill at least 1 hour before serving, or cover and refrigerate up to 10 days. Garnish the glasses of punch with additional ground cinnamon and cinnamon sticks. Coconut milk punch rice pudding. Place 1 tablespoon butter in a medium saucepan. Heat over medium until just melted for about 30 seconds. Add 1/2 cup uncooked white medium grain rice and cook, stirring constantly until the rice is fragrant, about 2 minutes. Stir in 1 cinnamon stick and 5 cups coconut milk punch. Bring to a rolling simmer over medium. Cover and reduce heat to low. Cook, stirring often until the rice is tender and the mixture is thick, 50 to 55 minutes. Discard the cinnamon stick and stir in 1/2 teaspoon vanilla bean paste and 1/2 cup coconut milk punch. Serve warm or let cool completely before refrigerating overnight to serve cold. Garnish with ground cinnamon just before serving. Active 1 hour, total 1 hour, serves 4. Don't knock this fruitcake until you try it. In Corsicana, Texas, Collins Street Bakery carries on 129 years of cherry-crowned traditions by Caitlin Yarborough Sadek. We've all heard or even shared stale old jokes about fruitcake. The oft-defamed dessert has been called a blunt force weapon, a formidable doorstop, and the white elephant regift you hate to see coming. Usually, the offending party has never tasted a good one, and the Collins Street Bakery is the place that changes minds. People who thought they hated fruitcake, says Bob McNutt, a third-generation owner whose family took over the business in 1946. It's fun to exceed their expectations going on 129 years now. The shop originally opened its doors in 1896 after a young German baker, Augustus Gus Weidmann, showed up in Corsicana with a family recipe for fruitcake. It's barely changed since then. Other than swapping out walnuts for pecans, which are a match more abundant in this region. We don't know how to make it any better, truly, McNutt says. We try to guarantee it will be the best you've ever had, or you deserve your money back. It's true that the divisive dessert has never been the easiest to sell. Despite its jolly appearance, yet every holiday season, this bakery will send out up to $20 million brew online orders at collinsstreet.com, which can be shipped practically anywhere in the world, not to mention what's sold in its 4 brick-and-mortar Lone Star State stores. That's enough to quiet most dissenters, because no one in Hawaii or Austria or New York City would buy a candied bundt from a minuscule place in Texas unless it was spectacular. The downtown Corsicana location can turn out up to 20,000 cakes each day during the busiest stretch, which hits around 2 months before Christmas. The bakery takes on close to 400 additional seasonal workers from the local community to accommodate the annual spike. A sweet, warmly spiced scent wafts constantly from the swinging doors of the factory that's nestled behind a cozy counter service cafe. Visitors can peep through the glass to see an assembly line of staff decorating each sticky round with nuts and fruits. The company even grows a portion of the pineapples used in their recipes on their own 115-acre organic farm in Costa Rica. The signature product is undoubtedly the deluxe fruitcake, which comes loaded with pecans, nearly one-third of the batter, and garnished with red and green cherries, which might inspire some wariness. "Folks are scared of color," jokes Hayden Crawford, who's the second generation in his family to work alongside the McNuts. For skeptics of the confection when it's all dressed up, there's the less flashy Texas Blonde pecan cake, topped with only a smattering of nuts. "It's the one that usually brings people over to our side," says longtime in-house baker Pat Borland. Other popular varieties include an apricot-flavored pecan bundt, sans the pineapple, as well as miniature bites that are ideal for sampling and hosting. "We can look our customers in the eye and know with great sincerity that we've done the best we can do for them. Bringing generations together is what we strive to do, and we really take pride in that," says McNutt. Carla Hall's Seafood Spectacular by Carla Hall. Packed with shrimp and crab, the celebrity chef's decadent casserole is a brunch showstopper. Low Country Breakfast Casserole. Active 1 hour. Total 1 hour, 45 minutes. Serves 8. 2 1/4 teaspoons baking powder. 2 1/4 teaspoons granulated sugar. 1/2 teaspoon baking soda. 2 cups plus 3 tablespoons all-purpose flour divided, plus more for the work surface. 1 1/2 teaspoons black pepper divided. 1 teaspoon kosher salt divided. 1 1/2 tablespoon vegetable shortening. 6 tablespoons unsalted butter frozen. 2 large scallions thinly sliced, plus more for garnish. 1 cup whole buttermilk chilled. 2 medium-sized red potatoes cut into 1/2-inch pieces, about 1 1/2 cups. 1 teaspoon canola oil. 8 ounces smoked sausage cut into 1/2-inch pieces, about 1 1/2 cups. 1 medium bell pepper chopped, about 1 cup. 2 tablespoons unsalted butter at room temperature. 2 cups seafood or chicken stock. 1 cup whole milk divided, 1 teaspoon Old Bay seasoning, 1/4 teaspoon onion powder, 1/4 teaspoon smoked paprika, 6 large eggs, 1 cup shredded sharp cheddar cheese, 4 ounces divided, 8 ounces medium-sized peeled, deveined raw shrimp cut into 1/2-inch pieces, about 1 1/2 cups. 1 cup lump crab meat from 1 8-ounce package, drained and picked over for shells. Step 1. Whisk together baking powder, sugar, baking soda, 2 cups flour, 1 teaspoon black pepper, and 3/4 teaspoon kosher salt in a large bowl. Pinch shortening into the flour mixture until fully incorporated. Then grate frozen butter into the flour mixture and toss to coat. Quickly pinch the butter into the flour mixture to create flattened pieces. Then stir in the scallions. Step 2. Add the buttermilk to the flour mixture and stir lightly until no dry flour remains. Transfer the dough to a lightly floured work surface and pat into a rectangle. Fold the dough into thirds like a letter. Repeat patting and folding twice more. Roll the dough to 1/2 inch thickness and cut into 3/4 inch squares. Chill on a lightly floured baking sheet until ready to use. Step 3. Preheat the oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit. Stir together potatoes, 1 tablespoon water, and the remaining 1/4 teaspoon kosher salt in a medium microwavable bowl. Cover and microwave on high until fork tender, about 3 minutes, then drain and set aside. Step 4. Heat a large skillet over medium high. Add the oil and the smoked sausage. Cook, stirring occasionally until browned, 4 to 5 minutes. Add the bell pepper and potatoes, and cook, stirring often, until vegetables are browned in spots, about 3 minutes, and transfer to a medium bowl using a slotted spoon. Step 5. Return the skillet to medium heat and add room temperature butter to the drippings. Add the remaining 3 tablespoons of the flour and cook, whisking constantly until the mixture smells nutty, about 1 minute. Gradually whisk in the stock and 1/2 cup of the milk, whisking constantly, then stir in the Old Bay seasoning, onion powder, paprika, and remaining 1/2 teaspoon black pepper. Bring the mixture to a boil over medium high. Reduce the heat to medium and cook, whisking often until the mixture lightly coats the back of a spoon, about 5 minutes. Remove from the heat and stir in the cooked sausage, potatoes, and bell pepper into the gravy mixture and let cool 10 minutes. Step 6. Whisk together eggs, 1/2 cup shredded cheese, and the remaining 1/2 cup of milk in a medium bowl. Coat a 13-by-9-inch baking dish with cooking spray and arrange the dough pieces in a single layer. Gently fold shrimp and crab meat into the gravy mixture in the skillet. Then pour the gravy mixture over the dough pieces in the baking dish. Pour the egg mixture on top and sprinkle with the remaining 1/2 cup cheese. Bake uncovered until the eggs are set and slightly puffed, 35 to 40 minutes. Step 7. Remove the casserole from the oven and let rest 5 minutes before serving. Garnish with thinly sliced scallions, if desired. We have come to the end of our program. I'm Joyce Davis, and I will be back soon.